All right, guys, this is take two of our podcast because the first time we just tried this, I screwed up a recording setting.
That was all the golden stuff, too.
So I know, all the good stuff is gone.
Went for hours.
Yeah. So this is Freddie, and I'm joined here today by Logan, the other Jedi a-hole, Rico, who was also Rico in Flower Warfare and the guy who did the 360 no-scope, and Matt, who you may remember from a lot of our road trip videos. Basically, we're trying out a podcast. We have no idea what we're doing. We have no idea what we're going to talk about. Logan and Matt tend to disagree on video games, and odds are we're going to be talking about very nerdy things like games, movies, TV, whatever. So with that being said, I guess we should just go ahead and get into it, right? Mm-hmm. What we were saying before I screwed up the recording settings was...
I put my Milwaukee best on the
table?
Will that like some reverberations through the microphone?
That sound is us placing our drinks on the table.
So every time you hear this, that's the drink being placed on the table.
That's Logan getting slightly more buzzed. We were talking about you have this weird tendency of opening games and inhaling deeply from them. Like every time you get a new game, you'll open the package or DVD and you'll just sniff straight out of it, like taking a hit.
It's not like there's chemicals caught in there, but it's definitely
there are chemicals.
Definitely a sense memory from when I was younger, and it was very rare to get a game, mm-hmm. as opposed to now where you get games from the industry and from other people probably once every 3 or 4 days.
Right, right. So it's weird.
Despite me hating most games, so it's really
that's
weird.
That's not the same though, huh? Because old games were like in the
old games were boxes, in cardboard with paper sleeves, and now it's plastic. Smell. But
they started ever since PlayStation. I was still pretty young when PlayStation came out, right? Most games are pretty terrible. So I get this high from smelling the game.
And then you don't get it from the actual playing game. So one thing you may not know about Logan is that Logan absolutely hates most video games. Like, just doesn't play. Yes. You don't get through most video games.
No, I usually last. I give him an hour and a half. Okay, can we just... I'm going to dive into the
No, because I want to ask, do you think games... Now, is it that games suck? Or you kind of brought it before, we were talking a little before. Or have you just matured?
I think games haven't matured. I think the sort of person who wants to make a game loves games exactly the way they are, mm-hmm. sadly, which means that they're going to keep on making games that were just like the old games with better graphics.
Let's just run some value by here, and I just want your one sentence take on these games here.
So. Oh my god, one sentence, that's a lot of pressure.
Just quick,
you can make a good core game, but then it has to be so expertly executed.
You enjoy Super Meat Boy, right?
Which is Super Meat Boy, yeah. Call of Duty 4, Prince of Persia. It's like same. Well, Prince of Persia's got some cool stuff.
Yeah, it's got some. So
for the most part, it's pretty normal, but they just execute it so fantastic. Like,
okay,
the
so I'm gonna
so
I'm
great.
Gonna run through a list of some commonly accepted fantastic games. I want to hear your take on them, just as quick as you can. Right? So,
well, do you want me to just say? Because I'm probably just gonna say like piece of shit.
Let's explain a little why. I want to know what Logan wanted to dive into.
Well, yeah, no, we'll get into this. But people need to know Logan's taste here.
Okay.
Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time for the Nintendo
So most people love Ocarina of Time. I think it was rated number one or
He started this on purpose.
Ever. Yeah, okay. But, okay, there's just so many illogical things that happen. First of all, just riding around a horse, zero fun. I guess maybe enjoying the 10 polygon countryside was incredible.
Single sentence, Logan, just called my most memorable moment in my childhood, no fun.
Just go two puzzles of Ocarina of Time that are bullshit? Puzzle one. How are you going to get into this giant fish? Let's go find the smaller fish and feed it to him. What sort of shitty puzzle? Feed the fish a fish?
That's science.
Come on. Okay, number two, you're supposed to pick up this princess. So you go up to the princess and hit the use button, whatever Zelda had. I don't think they had context-sensitive buttons.
No, they did. It was like one of the first.
Truly revolutionary titles. So you walk up to the princess and you go, like, get on my back. And she goes, no. And you're like, well, obviously, I gotta go find a different way to do this. So you explore the entire level. But you end up going back to her and asking her again. She goes, no. And you ask her one more time. One more time. She goes, yes, and hops on. You were supposed to ask her three times? Maybe it's some sort of Japanese culture shit.
And on the other side of the coin here, we have Matt, who game industry expert, sort of game historian, probably knows more about video games than any of us combined. Matt, what was your take on Ocarina of Time? One of your favorites, right?
It's probably still my favorite game of all time.
Can you justify those two puzzles? Go ahead and justify.
I'm pretty embarrassed. Well, the first one, I think the big fish eating the smaller fish, I mean, that made sense to me even as a kid. The second one, I gotta be honest, I don't remember that, which is pretty embarrassing. I haven't played Ocarina of Time in like four years.
Let me give you the third thing. So that game is fraught with minigames, as many sort of open exploration games are now. Like, they're playing
none that you have to play, though.
Huh?
None that you have
none,
to play.
Exactly. Though. Well, Zelda has one you have to play. They told, they're like, hey, have some fun and maybe do this carnival game. But you cannot progress until you do that carnival game.
In Ocarina of Time?
Yeah, there's the fish creatures in the cave. And you're supposed to dive off the thing. We're getting into it.
Okay, another one.
Let's move on.
Final Fantasy VII. Still probably the most written about game on Game FAQs.
Which is sad. Sad.
So we'll agree on this. That game is fine.
Okay, but so this is one of the few games I truly feel justified in shitting on.
Oh, good.
Because most of the time I shit on a game that I've only played for 2 to 3 hours.
See, I don't like Final Fantasy.
So 2 to 3 hours is my breaking point. Right. Final Fantasy VII, I made a vow to myself. When that game came out, I said, Logan, you're going to play this game from beginning to end, no matter how bad it gets.
How old were you at this time?
When I made that vow when it came out. So.
Okay.
But when I turned 20...
You were really pessimistic when you bought a new game. That's how you started. You buy a game with a thought, I'm going to play this no matter how bad it gets.
Final Fantasy... So there's two games I did this with. One's Half-Life, because I really enjoyed Half-Life. Okay. My little brother, Blade, who now works at EA, Blade decided to fill up every save game slot with 2 health as you fall into an acid. Half-Life was not to be, and every time he was going to tell me the ending of Half-Life, I went, no, one day I will finish it.
Right.
And so one Christmas I had 2 weeks to myself in college, and I set out on a mission. I was going to beat Half-Life and I was going to beat Final Fantasy VII. So I locked myself in my room, got cabin fever, and every day I woke up going, oh god, more Final Fantasy VII. And I'd wake up, I'd just go sit down, and I'd fucking play Final Fantasy VII from 8 a.m. until like 10 at night, and then I'd probably watch like Troy on HBO, which, you know, Troy's pretty good. Everybody knocks Troy, but it's a good movie.
This is Troy?
Let me get this straight.
So this was 2 weeks of your life was dedicated.
Yes.
For some people, that would be a good thing. That'd be fantastic.
Maybe. No, I will admit to you that the end boss battle of Final Fantasy VII was one of the most emotionally filled moments of video gaming, because I was like, oh, I've never felt so close to escaping my cell.
It wasn't from the game itself.
It wasn't satisfying.
It was the light at the end of the tunnel for you.
Yes, and they don't let you save for 2 hours. I was like, oh my god, am I going to have to play another 2 hours of this? But I did it. I blew up all the planets in the solar system.
In order so that you were no
longer 3 or 4 times.
With having to play.
Sephiroth was finally downed.
So you no longer had to play Final Fantasy VII.
But yeah, so I played from beginning to end, and I gotta say, it's got a good story. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that, but most movies are 2 hours and they also have a good story. I don't know why you need to do that for 3 weeks.
Matt, what's a game you want to throw at Logan here?
Did you like Half-Life 2? I don't know, you liked Half-Life 1.
I loved Half-Life 2. It has as good game feel as Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
Specifically the pistol sound. The pistol sound in Half-Life 2.
Valve in general, their Left 4 Dead guns feel incredible too.
Okay, I didn't like Left 4 Dead.
Here we go.
Love Left 4 Dead.
You were saying something about open world stuff, I guess. This kind of brings us to Red Dead, right?
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption, for those who know.
Yeah. I was going to say, I like the game. I don't love it.
Well, Matt, you just got back into it, right?
But yeah, I never beat it. And I finally had some time to play something. I've been pretty busy. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna check this out. So I load up the game. Update came on. That was a good sign. Yeah, good sign.
They fixed
a lot of stuff.
We're going to be better.
The horse shows up. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to my first quest here, Bonnie with a B. I'm like, you know, I'm going to enjoy this game. I'm going to atmosphere. I'm going to ride my horse there instead of warping there. I start going up a hill, and in a moment, my horse just starts running into the mountain. And then I'm stuck inside some abyss. Like, it was like Ocarina of Time. Like, if anybody did that glitch where you jump to the castle, it's the same thing. I'm sitting there
so
like,
so you're
this
glitching
sucks.
Through the game.
So then I'm like, okay, well, I'll just pause and exit.
Wait, so you like fell through the
forest? No. Even better, it was like a slope, and I just rode. The horse just went in as if there was a tunnel.
So this actually happened to me in another AAA title that everybody's crazy about, Uncharted 2. I don't know if I got a glitchy game, but I was falling through every
really?
Floor in Uncharted 2.
I never had
2.
A glitch in that.
You fell through the. I don't know how that's possible. I've never heard that.
Yeah, I've never heard a glitch.
I fell through floors, I ran through walls. Maybe I got the no clipping edition from GameStop.
Just moving around.
It's the special GameStop unlock code. No clipping. That was the GameStop exclusive. Target was invisibility mode.
Okay, so how about Fallout? Are you, because, see, I can't stand, I'm going to get crap. I get crap on this on Messboard. I can't stand Fallout 2. I think Fallout 3 and Fallout 3 Vegas are two of the most boring games I've ever played.
You know, so I expected to not like them because I'm not a fan of, who did that? It's the Oblivion guys,
Oblivion.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Oblivion.
Bethesda.
Are we assuming everybody here wants to hear about visual effects and stuff?
Sure, why not? Sure. Okay. I don't know. We'll find out. If you guys, what you guys want to hear, email it to podcast@facerocker.com.
There is a piece of software called FaceGen, and you upload 8 pictures of a human head, and this software outputs a human head that supposedly looks like the human head you took pictures of.
It's a model, 3D model, yes, of it. Yeah.
So the idea is that, yeah. So I think you guys actually use it in some of your videos, maybe. I think maybe Big Head Mode.
Big Head. Video Game Cheats in Real Life uses that tech for Sam's big head.
Okay. The problem with that tech is if you just pump it out and don't have an artist go back, every head looks the same, but slightly different colored. It basically takes the color of your skin and puts it on their generic head. So everybody has this really bland look in every game. So there's no character to any of the characters.
And it's all done by the same writer, and every character's written the same, and they're all voiced by the same 5 people. So it's the same face.
Yeah, same face, same voice. It's basically a world of clones as you hack through things in Oblivion. Okay, yeah. So I expected not to like Fallout 3. But I actually enjoyed it. Maybe just because Liam Neeson was your dad in it.
That was awesome.
I'm a big fan of Liam Neeson. But I liked it enough to play it for a full hour and a half.
Oh, man.
That's the absolute limit of time that you'll give to
anything. Yeah, that's pretty huge.
That's pretty huge.
Which takes me to open world. This is actually what I wanted to bring up. So these open world games, people go like, you got to give it a good 2 hours for it to warm up.
Which honestly doesn't apply to
30 seconds. I'm like, okay, that's bullshit. 2 hours before I know if something's good?
That's the length of a movie.
And people are like, well, you know, it's a 20-hour game. It's the same as like saying, like, I'm done after this movie in 30 seconds. It's all relative. It's like, well, dude, I still die when I'm 7. My life isn't relative.
Yeah, it's still the same amount of time.
It's still 2 hours in my life. So fuck, get ready after 15 minutes. I want to go. And so Red Dead Redemption, about an hour and a half in, I was still like learning how to shoot like raccoons, and I had a race.
I remember the race. Well, I remember you just served from our race.
We had a bug there.
We had a bug or something in the race, so that like there's a bridge at this horse race you have to do, and you have to cross, and it's like we tried like a good 20 times, and every single time we fell off before we got on the bridge, like we got funneled across the edge.
Which I remember, so I put down the game for a while. When you picked it up again just recently, did you have to do that again?
No, I got through about like 5 hours of the game before I stopped.
Okay.
And it was mostly busy. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't as engaged as I was hoping, because there was 1 year where I bought every single Western game ever made in 3D, and I played every single one. I just wanted like the original Red Dead.
Red Dead Revolver?
Yeah, the original Red Dead. Was it, what's the one that has the same engine as Bethesda? They did a second one.
Call of Juarez?
Yeah, Call of Juarez. I forget what they're... Oh, Gun. I picked up Gun. There's some, like, PC game I picked up. I was like, I want to see what they've done in the Western. So Red Dead Redemption was like,
the best? Is it the best one, would you say?
It's the best one, but that's because none of the other ones are.
It's not really saying much.
Gun is Red Dead Redemption with a flavor of Tony Hawk.
If Full Throttle counts as a Western, I'd say Full Throttle is
Full Throttle, Western. That's true. That's the point and click one.
Wait, did you try Outlaw then?
Outlaw?
Yeah, dude.
The 30% Metacritic one or whatever?
No, Outlaw as in the game that used the Duke Nukem Forever engine.
No.
And was made by LucasArts.
No.
I couldn't play it because I didn't have a Pentium at the time. This is back when you could have not a Pentium.
Yeah.
So
I think we're dangerously dating ourselves in this right now, by the way. We're talking about guys, you remember the original Jedi Knight? That was so much fun.
Yeah, I picked those up. Picked those up on the Steam sales playing those. Open world.
Okay, so
everybody right now is saying, I'm going to be like, what are these nerds talking about?
Okay, so
might as well just be talking about old black and white movies.
Okay, so step one with open world games, or any game now, they expect you to play for 2 hours before you really get into it.
Right.
And really, it needs to be more like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, because that's how much time I have to know if something's shit or not.
That's fair. I agree with that.
Part two.
Well, here's why I say that too. It's like, it doesn't make any sense too, because it's like, even if it's like much longer, it's like well, first 30 seconds of the movie you can probably tell it's crap. It's like, well, yeah, most of the time in the first 30 seconds of the movie you can tell if it's gonna be crap or not.
Exactly. And to be fair, like there are things that you have to kind of soak in to enjoy. Like there are slow
spas and baths.
Exactly.
For example. Yeah.
But if we're talking about media as well, like there's some movies that you don't realize are good until like a minute and a half, 2 minutes in. Or I guess
a minute and a half, the movie's good.
Yeah. Okay. But so like it's fair if a video game like it doesn't really like go full bore on you for 2 hours, but it's got to like at least wrap you in so that you keep playing. Which is a big problem with open world games with me is they're okay. Like, they're fun. Yeah. Like, I really enjoyed running around shooting bunny rabbits in Red Dead Redemption and collecting bounties.
Right.
But at a point, you're like,
there's better things I could be doing with my time than this.
Yeah.
And so, like, if I lived in a Nexus where I was an immortal,
yeah.
If I was Highlander, maybe I would definitely play all the way through Red Dead Redemption.
I also feel like they owe you more. They better be good, because they're asking 30 hours of your life.
Yeah, so they basically have to be engaging enough that I forget that there's other things I could be doing with my time. And that they're usually not. They're usually not.
In fact, going back to, like, Half-Life, like most open-world games, now the whole thing is starting with this, like, really linear scripted sequence that lasts an hour. Like, GTA, right? You were sitting in a car. They had this cutscene. You sit in a car and you listen to somebody talk for 10 minutes.
And
I mean, why would you not
move
start
GTA? Action!
Yeah,
action!
Why would you not start GTA 4 with a dude in a parking lot and six shirtless dudes come around with machine guns?
Six shirtless dudes.
You instantly have to start fighting.
They got to be shirtless. And you instantly start one for my games. Mask. Every game I like must be shirtless.
Shirtless man is a...
Did you play Assassin's Creed, the new one?
Brotherhood or whatever?
Yeah, because I thought they finally got it right at the beginning, because it starts off
in a Roman spa. There's like shirtless dudes everywhere.
No, it starts with the entire castle being destroyed.
I'm gonna eat my own words here. So at the same time, they're like, any story that drives me through with Assassin's Creed, I was like, your story sucks. Let me play the game. I just wanted to skip through the cutscenes, but they thought their cutscenes were so kick ass that you couldn't skip them.
Well, the first one or
Brotherhood?
Brotherhood.
I just was like, I just wanted to jam on the A button and start killing bros.
I gotta say, I eat that mythology up in those games for some reason.
Like Francisco von Pablo talking about the Brotherhood of the Wolf.
I gotta say, I'm kind of a history buff and I love that shit. I even play the Facebook game right now, the friggin' Project Legacy, which is literally just reading text. You're just reading lines and lines of fake history. But
for the younger readers, that's what all video games used to be. Just reading text.
Oh man.
So there's one.
For me, the biggest problem I have with open world games is that nothing, every time, like, I was never a fan of GTA when it first came out, and everybody was like, dude, why are you playing Mario? We're playing Zelda, this shit. You can do this and this and this. My problem is that every single thing in this game, sure, you can do 100 things, but nothing's fun. No mechanic is actually interesting.
But how about Just Cause 2?
Just Cause 2, here's two open world games I loved. Just Cause 2 and Crackdown. Crackdown is a better game than GTA 4, than Red Dead Redemption, or Fall, or any of those. And it's a game that doesn't hide the fact that it's a game. It's literally about collecting orbs. That's literally the entire game. everything you do in that game is fun. So you're jumping. I mean, everything, the mechanics are clean. So I played Crackdown all the way through to the very end. Logan's not disagreeing right now because he's picking up another Milwaukee's Best. There we go. Did you play Crackdown?
No, I played Crackdown a little bit. It just felt kind of cheap to me.
The big issue with these
open world games is the more stuff you throw into it, obviously, the less time you have to play around with each thing when you're making it.
Well, that was the problem with what was that game?
Like, did you know you could catch a horse in Red Dead? I was like, that sounds cool. Then I get it, and he's like, just wiggle.
You just wiggle
your joystick. I'm okay, like, that's not a feature. So
here's the thing with Red Dead Redemption is. There apparently is this story, and it's really engaging, but there's also this open world built around the story where you can just go, like, hunting, like, hawks for hours
and skin deers.
And so what happens is I start ignoring the story and go hunting hawks, and then I'm like, this is a waste of time, and I put it down.
You hate a game because you distract yourself.
Well, I want to do everything, but I want it to give me... I want a story no matter what I do. So, like, when I walk through the random door in Mass Effect and ends up just being like a poker mini game, I want, when I walk through that door, for it to be like this amazing shootout that contributes to the story somehow.
Or if it's just a poker mini game, it turns into the dude at the poker table is actually the bad guy that was there, and then you have a shootout.
I want more smart railroading in games. That's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. I want it to feel like an open world, but they're always steering you through a journey or a narrative arc.
Yeah, because I think Valve, and then I think like Call of Duty 4 was the best. They took a linear game and they made it feel about as open world as it can feel.
Yeah,
nobody's done it the reverse yet. Nobody's taken an open world game and railroad you. Because, it's either a direct storyline and they tell you. There's no surprise. It's like, go to this thing. Blinking sign, and the story will begin.
Yeah, exactly. What I do as a player is I'm like, yeah, open world shit, awesome. But then I get really bored, but I don't turn around and go back to the story. I'm just like, this is bullshit as I run off into the horizon. Like, I spent a whole 50 minutes literally jogging after a wild horse in Red Dead Redemption trying to catch it. I literally just sat there jogging.
Wait, 15 minutes?
I just held down the R button and I was like, this is so fucking boring. But damn it, I was chasing that horse.
Did you get the horse?
No, I eventually jogged all the way back to town.
And the horse clipped out or disappeared and that was bad.
Just ran off. I better stop.
Did you try, what was it, Far Cry 2? That whole thing, it's okay, but that was the whole thing. They very much wanted to make every single thing you do in that game, like, contribute to the story. So any sort of like side quest, there's always a character that went with you and that grew like your partnership. So it was a cool idea. Yeah. It didn't work quite right, but
it was,
Why didn't it work? Sorry. Well, mostly because the story was engaging. Also, it's like, yeah, everything you did relates to the story, but the story is literally comes down to you trying to kill this drug dealer who you didn't kill when you saw him at the beginning of the game, and like you have partners, and your relationship status is this is a random dude I picked up, and he helps me every once in a while. They also have great mechanics too, where it's like every once in a while your car just breaks down. And you open that's up the
hood. Don't you also have like typhoid in that game?
Yeah, typhoid.
Like
the game, that's the biggest.
It's the game. It's the first game to feature a character with typhoid.
Or yeah, and every once in a while you're enjoying yourself. Like, it's like
we're breaking new ground here, folks.
No, it's malaria.
I'm surprised malaria. Typhoid malaria. Awareness Society didn't give
malaria. I believe it was malaria.
Okay. I appreciate the realism.
I guess typhoid might be a little bit more of a 19th century. That's like yeah.
This game is
the polio. We have polio in this game.
You have to use both analog sticks to wheel your wheelchair around.
Yeah. It was also the problem with the first Assassin's Creed, where it was like cool that all the side quests like did something, but they're all essentially like 30 of them were take down a satellite station, and you know the 20 of them were take down a location. So it wasn't engaging at all. But it's cool tech. It was a pretty fun game.
So can we talk about Amnesia a little bit?
Yeah. So we've all played Amnesia. You played it for how many minutes?
I played it for half an hour.
Okay, I played about five minutes.
I played the demo, and I did not finish the demo. For people who don't know what Amnesia is, it's underground. You're not going to find it at Target or anything. Maybe, I assume.
No, it's on Steam.
It's on Steam, and
It won like the indie war.
You can also just download it, download a demo. But everybody's talking about how it's just truly terrifying. It's the first horror game where it doesn't feel like an action game. It's not like Dead Space where you run around killing.
And we're gonna get to Dead Space when 2 comes out.
Yeah. See, Dead Space to me isn't scary. It's not scary if your guy has like the coolest gun in the game.
And by the way, he literally walks around with like a nail gun that explodes.
By the way,
creatures.
Here's what I said. I played Dead Space. When I was working at Disney, I played Dead Space in their conference rooms on like a 30-foot screen with the best surround sound system possible after work at like 9 o'clock at night by myself.
Yeah,
and that was still
to be fair.
And I don't think I got.
You're not gonna be scared in a conference room at work though. You're only terrified like in your own bedroom. Many kids can get to you. You know?
It's possible. Yeah. I don't know. I want the primo atmosphere.
I'm a lot more uncomfortable shutting off my lights at my home than I am at.
I'm pretty easily scared. Like, I got scared in Metro Prime.
Logan, you used to have in your bedroom a life-size poster of Triple H.
This is true. This is true. And it terrified. Were you there when it got me?
So I got this pretty kick-ass remote control car with a video camera on it, and then you wear these goggles with a little screen on it so you can see what the RC camera
is. I think those are for ages 8 to 14, if I remember correctly.
And up.
They're not ages.
Yeah, 14 plus. And so this thing's pretty badass because it gives you like RC view. So like if you ever wanted to check out like the girls' locker room or
with
like,
an RC car, and then there's girls who were
just put a towel over it with a hole.
Girls like, oh, it's a moving towel.
It's a moving towel, of course.
You should get naked now.
So
got you a strip.
So this thing's pretty badass, and I was of course wheeling around my house, you know, just being a baller. And I took it into my room. And I saw like I see under my bed like this like these hiking boots, like this dude in hiking boots, I just see his feet, and I'm like, oh my god, who is that? And I start looking, I'm like, everybody's accounted for in this room. Who is the ghost in hiking boots in my room?
You walk in,
and it's just Triple H, the life-size Triple H on the wall.
You got fooled by your own poster, which, by the way, was probably at your place for, what, like 3 months? You woke up every morning looking at it, and you didn't realize it.
The first month's really weird, because with all the lights off, it just looks like the silhouette of a giant. And I made sure...
It's a big dude, too.
It's located, so like right when you walk in the room, it's in the corner of your eye, so you like whip over to it.
You took it down recently, though, right?
The glue that it, like connects it to the wall gave out on just the head, which was terrifying. Because like you put it up, and then like you know you'd be watching 30 Rock or whatever, and then you look like just like and make like this breathing noise, and then the head would droop over. So I rolled it up. I had to retire poor Triple H.
Yeah,
no. So don't. It's a flat head, which is like the number one brand for like getting life size people.
Right.
Don't get a fat head.
It did last for a while, and it did fool you into believing there was an actual man.
All right, fair enough. Get a fat head, though.
Fully support fat head.
Scary games.
All right, scary games. So let's. So Amnesia is apparently
supposed to be the scariest, most terrifying.
Yeah, it's supposed to be this terrifying game. You're only going to get it for your computer, whether it's PC or Mac. You can't get it like on Xbox or anything.
And the whole idea is that you're powerless. Like that, yeah. Like, didn't Silent Hill do? I never played a Silent Hill, but wasn't Silent Hill also a game where you like had to run away all the time?
No, a lot of survival horror.
Fatal Frame is
a lot of survival horror.
Is the one where you just have a camera.
Yeah, survival horror, a lot of survival horror bases around the fact that you're powerless and you are. And some people even argue that the crappy controls in a lot of survival horror games
is to
add to it. Which is the worst argument ever.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, it's more scary because you can't. It's like, no, it's not more scary, it's more frustrating.
It's like me justifying Spider-Man 3 is a good movie because it was intended to be like that.
just because it doesn't work.
Okay, so with this in mind, when you have everybody telling you Amnesia is the scariest game ever, I was like, you know what? I'm home alone tonight. I'm going to shut off the lights. And I'm gonna
You're excited. It. You like tweeted it.
Oh, I tweeted it. I was like, oh shit.
Amnesia, play Amnesia.
Amnesia, it's coming. And so I download. I'm scared to install that shit.
You're scared to double click and install it.
I was like, you know what? I better have a spaghetti break. So I went and ate some spaghetti. I didn't even want to open it. I was so terrified. And so I finally installed it. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna shut up. Then I was like, no. So I take a shower. I take a shower. I eat
clean.
A second bowl of spaghetti. I'm trying to do anything.
Why would you want to eat spaghetti? Spaghetti is like the worst thing to eat before you can be scared.
Scared, because we all know spaghetti just makes you more terrified.
Yeah, it's like the most thorough.
So anyways, I finally sit down and I open up this game and it starts and there's got this like really moody music and it's got like the fog and everything.
Alright,
so, like,
so far.
And I'm like, oh,
I'm scared.
I'm terrified. And I keep looking behind me, making sure nobody's in the room with me. And I start walking the halls and they do this really cool thing where the screen warps, and we could talk about how they do that, but so the screen's really warping and they do some really neat stuff where the camera's always swaying. He's always like like he's always like breathless and like letting the little gut like and like you're walking in the dark and like it lets you know like in the dark you still go insane, so you start hearing like clicking noises. I'm like this shit's really cool, this is intense.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh man, something's gonna jump out. 5 minutes pass and I'm like all right, maybe okay. Maybe I'm lost, but maybe it's like a maze, psychological horror maze. So I continue to go. Now it's 15 minutes in, I haven't seen anything and I'm still like
scared, right?
Well, at this point, I'm like, where's the door? There must be a door. And it just starts breaking down because I had no idea where to go. Like,
well, horror, I think horror games is the moment, more than any other game, you can't ever have that moment where the player is like, starts thinking game wise, right? Because where's the freaking door? It's no longer scary.
Yeah, and then there's like a pulley, and it's like you have to find the pulley for the rope and shit. And I'm like, what is this?
See, for me, I wasn't a big fan of that. I couldn't. Did the heavy breathing of the character take you out? For me, that took me out of the moment because I wasn't freaking out.
No, so I was watching it. I'm like, this guy is like really.
It's a pacing issue, right? It's kind of like
right away the game starts.
It's like Transformers 2, right? Like Transformers 2, like when you see a bunch of shit explode and like robots like kicking ass.
That's the first second of the movie.
You're like, and then it just does it. It doesn't get higher, it doesn't get lower. It just explosions for half an hour. Sooner or later, you're over.
Volume.
You need lows to have highs, right?
Yeah.
And so when that guy's breathing panicked for like 20
the
minutes,
whole time.
You're like, okay.
All right, dude, slow down, buddy. You're going to have to
kind of like. Take a breather, bro.
Did you ever play Eternal Darkness?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, see, I thought Eternal Darkness was.
Again, like you need those breather points. There's a reason horror movies aren't scary from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't be.
Serial killers have eyes. If you constantly somehow just go up, if you're constantly on an upward slope, okay, kudos to you. Good luck sustaining.
Good luck getting there.
But Amnesia was just at like 95% from the very beginning for 20 minutes. And here's the other thing. I just didn't find anything that was scary. After what, like, the whole like something's just around the corner only works for the first 100 corners.
Well, and also being something behind the corner.
And I saw like there was at one point a dude like walking in the distance, but he didn't react to me. He just kind of like walked and that was it. And I was like, oh.
Did you play, what was the Condemned?
No.
Did you try Condemned?
It's about a bunch of crack whores and you got
it was homeless pipe, people. Right? Yeah, it's kind of cool because you're actually finding homeless people.
The scariest thing in modern society.
Homeless people. Yeah. No, there's a psychopath that is. You felt pretty like most horror games. The problem is that they still follow the normal like game kind of pacing, which is you get more powerful as it goes on, which just means the game gets less scary as you go on.
Yeah.
But at the beginning of that game is pretty scary.
So here's what I want from Amnesia for it to be good.
Okay.
After we have all
5 minutes,
you're
going to go back to it. You still have another 45 minutes on before you just give up on it entirely. Well,
okay,
right?
Yeah, I guess so. No, I probably won't open it again. I don't know where to go on that. So, like,
what do you want from it?
I want something similar to, so some of you have played Left 4 Dead out there, and they have something called the Director.
Yeah.
And the Director is designed to make sure you're always having a
good time. Good
proper, well, it's designed to create an arc experience. So, like, this artificial intelligence will like give you those resting moments and then throw zombies. And if you're not doing that great, it'll throw less zombies at you. And if you're doing awesome, it'll throw more to make sure that you're always having a perfectly balanced experience.
Yeah.
I need that with Amnesia, where like after a while, there's somehow I happen upon a door that lets me through. Or like, there is something around the corner. Just, I need something that moderates my experience.
How about if it was just as simple as when you couldn't find the freaking door and you haven't had anything pop around the corner, you could kill two birds with one stone if you turn the corner and some shadow figure started walking away.
Yeah.
So you start falling and be like, oh shit, it was a shadow figure. And he leads you to the door.
You can use the Half-Life 2 strategy where there were times when there's an issue finding the next the next door or whatever, and what they'd end up doing is just throwing bad guys through that door, so you couldn't help
literally breadcrumbs
fight your way. They breadcrumb you using enemies to kill.
Yeah.
So if that dude like somehow chased me to the door or whatever, like,
well, it was just like scary.
This should be no game, by the way, where you get stuck.
Scary things.
Yeah. It's like, look at this creepy painting. Oh,
images of gore.
Oh, it's an H.P. Lovecraft book. This must be right away.
I'm still waiting for like a really scary Cthulhu game. Is that how you say it? Cthulhu?
Cthulhu.
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 Is that how you say it?
If you want to get really nerdy, we can play.
It's Cthulhu in my head.
Have you ever played if we get really nerdy, we can play the pen and paper Cthulhu game, which is
there's that board game, right? It's called like the
There's Arkham Horror.
Arkham Horror, yeah.
No, but there's I'm talking about like Dungeons and Dragons style. There's a
I don't do paper that shit.
Game. Okay.
Well, actually, it's good that you mentioned one of my favorite.
There's one based on that's actually pretty fun to play.
It's good that you mentioned that because one of my favorite stories about you, Logan, is when you tried to get in on the Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, was it with Jason?
With Jason. Yeah. Jason, who takes like dungeon mastering really seriously. Very seriously. It's like a big thing for him. And so I guess they had gotten the party in a dungeon or something, and Jason was now prepared to deliver this like important expositional story.
And you were there, Logan?
Yes,
in you character. Ruined it.
He was you know, Logan was in this dungeon, and so the keeper of the dungeon comes in and like slides a little slot open to address the party and be like, you know, probably like lay out his evil plans or something. And Jason, by the way, who is the kind of person who would have a text, you know, thing near him laying out exactly what he was going to say in, you know, old English and everything. And Logan, like, what did you ran? You said that you
I ran up and I stabbed him in the eye through the
door. Slot. And Jason was.
Did Jason let that happen?
What are you going to? You roll the dice. The dice decides.
Yeah. Well, he paused for a second because he did not expect this to happen. And he's like, well, go ahead and roll. And
I rolled like perfect 20.
He rolled a natural 20. He's like, it kills him. And the thing is like, oh, he's just so disappointed by the fact that he had this
I shat on his story so hard.
And then how'd you guys get out? He just got out?
We ran away. Yeah.
You never found out what you had to do.
Never found out what the guy had to say.
I mean, but a truly good dungeon master was like, railroad us. I think the big money words here are railroading.
Yeah,
that's the word of the day is railroading. Right. Railroad us into good stories.
Good railroads require good signposting.
Yes.
Yes.
But explain that.
Signposting.
I agree. I don't know what you meant though.
Signposting. Signposting essentially just the things that point you in the direction you need to go. Rather than a really obvious signpost is the thing.
A signpost. Yeah.
That signpost it comes from, or the red dot that tells you where to go in like Red Dead Redemption. Good signposting is Valve are experts at this, and like Portal and stuff where they just subtly put art, you know, strong lighting and Left 4 Dead is signposting the right way, things like that.
So the interesting thing about good in-world signposting, where it's not necessarily telling you where to go, it just like psychologically
leads you there.
Is it only works like a good 90% of people?
Yeah,
and then
you're
there's
not
a, and then there's a 10% is in that 10%.
Well, I'm a 90%er. I actually love Half-Life games.
Yeah, because
but I've talked to people who are just like, I had no idea where to go, and every time I turned into a dead end. Yeah. And so I've decided it's kind of like being David Blaine, where when he guesses your number like 1 through 100, he just chooses the one that's statistically the most common.
Yeah.
And then he just cuts away whenever they don't get it. Yeah. So Val's like, 10% of people aren't going to get it. Let's just go.
Forget the 10%.
No, Brandon was one of those people we had. Remember, you were there. Yeah. We had Brandon play Portal, and I just listened to the developer commentary when they talked in incredible detail for these hours of playtesting about how the window is pointed this way. We made sure to have the sound
really?
Hit there. Yeah, right, they're like about. Exactly. They're especially Portal's really important because they had to explain to the player visually how portals work. And Brandon was just the moment he started head to the ceiling.
Looking
just,
over the ceiling, and just shooting indiscriminately
just
all over the
no
place.
Idea. We're like, Brandon, you're supposed to go there. He's like, I didn't see it. He's like,
we were talking about this. There's certain people who are nightmare playtesters. Brandon's one of them, and I'm one of them. We're Dead Space. So my way of playing horror games usually. What's the game we were talking about? Amnesia.
Amnesia
is exception because they literally put up a message at the beginning that's like, don't try to win. Try to immerse yourself. And just doing that was enough for me to like step out of my normal habits.
Yeah.
But normally with a horror game, I know that scary things come from above. Yeah. That's where fear
or below.
That's where fear is born, is from the ceiling. So I just stare at the ceiling and I spin so they can't trick me in any direction. So I literally spin looking at the ceiling through games.
Is that how you do haunted houses in real life?
Yeah, I do. Well, that's my big beef. So haunted houses, the vast majority of them are actually called haunted mazes, and they don't include ceilings. So I'm impervious to them.
You've had some experience designing a haunted house. That's something I've always wanted to do.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was that. I checked that one off my bucket list.
Do a haunted house. How'd that go?
We're gonna make walls using garbage bags.
Fantastic,
sir. Nobody tells you how difficult it is to make walls out of garbage bags, and nobody tells you how easy it is for wind to blow garbage bags away.
So really, probably because it doesn't need to be told to people. Nobody also tells you that, you know, fire is hot.
So do they fall away during?
No, but
that would have been scary.
I felt bad for them. We did it in this dude's backyard, and he was doing it for charity. So he was kind of like the ringleader responsible for it during a week that had record high winds.
Oh, gosh.
So he would send us like this nautical report every night talking about like batting down the hatches and like replanting the stakes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but we ended up doing it, and we did some cool tricks.
Yeah.
We did some cool tricks. We did like a diminishing perspective tunnel, and that came out at the end.
So it was just intellectual tricks.
Well, okay, here's what we did. Luckily, So there's only two of us working this haunted house.
True terror.
Yeah, well, it became a crowdsourced event where each person who came, they went through the haunted house.
We asked them to help.
And then we asked them to help. So the first person to come through actually had a really terrible experience. The 10th one, we had 9 people. And it's amazing how willing people are to, like...
Scare people?
Yeah.
And abuse them. Like, there was a samurai sword. Somebody picked the samurai sword and just started hitting people through the wall with them. I'm like, hey, dude, you need to calm down. one guy liked to just grab people's, like, ankles. Like, dude, and I'm like, dude.
Where were you? Was this East LA? Where was this?
This was in Silver Lake.
So here's... In my high school, we would do haunted houses. Like, we would set one up in, like, a gymnasium for, you know, kids or lower income neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And I remember we resorted to just the basest tricks. Like, one was my friend Kevin would lie with a mask on, like a really creepy old person mask. He'd just lie there, and that was it. And be like, oh, it's a dead body, kids. But then as the kids walked around, he would just grab the kids.
Yeah, no, that works.
And it was great because kids would be like crying with how terrified they were of this. Like, there's nothing
better than children crying.
Oh my god.
That's why Halloween exists.
Most kids going through it came out in tears, which of course just amped it up for everybody else. Because like, you see your friends coming through and they were crying. It's like, okay,
so I'm going to tell you the best. So the best trick was, we had this tunnel, right?
Yeah.
This diminishing perspective tunnel, which, if you don't know what diminishing perspective is, it's when something gets smaller near the end. So
you
it looks like it's much
everything.
Longer.
People have Wikipedia.
All right.
We'll put glossary up when we post a podcast.
So
no, we won't.
The idea was that you turn the corner and you look down this long hall that's filled with smoke.
Yeah.
But you didn't notice to the right. Luckily, the two first people who came were both under 4'5". They were just like adults that were freakishly tiny. And we just had them line up, and they were just like cowboy and Indian. And so we had them scream, kill, kill, kill. So it's like these creepy little adults screaming kill. And then this man would come out from the end with a sledgehammer and just run at you like a gorilla. And then dive out at the end. It worked really effective. But the problem was... They like kind of like run backwards a little bit. But then when you dive, they have to move forward. But then I just bang on the walls. Okay, so here's the thing. So I was the dude with the sledgehammer who would run at you. And then
Like a gorilla. Okay.
And then at the very end, I'd jump out the side and then sprint back to go man another position.
Right.
And we had this giant piece of rebar. Sticking out a little thing, and I would sprint blindly, right? And I've nailed this rebar so hard. And I look back at it, and like, people are like, Logan, this can't be true. That rebar was straight. After I nailed it, it was at a perfect 90-degree angle. It was like something that I'd pop on. Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's incredible that I didn't break my collarbone.
I don't believe you.
That's insane.
Did it form your face in a perfect
No,
silhouette?
I didn't hit it with my face.
I was wearing
a big poofy jacket, so that's the only way I can explain how I didn't
break something.
But I hit that. I must have hit that rebar so hard to turn it 90 degrees. That's incredible, right?
I'll take your word for it.
That must mean I have the sort of power of like a linebacker. I should go play with the Seahawks or something.
So here's the thing. I always thought that if you're gonna do a haunted house, the best way to do it would be to start it out as if it was a really crappy haunted house. Like, it starts off with the plastic bed, and it's like, oh, this is just a crappy haunted house, to get everyone's guards down. Like, the first few rooms is just like, it's
janky.
It's peeled grapes for eyeballs. Like, this is the jankiest thing ever. Ugh. And then as soon as you get people to that point where they're like, oh, I got it. I got this all figured out. You switch it on them, right? So then it's like the next room after that, and it's like, genuinely terrified of something, like some accident or something. Yeah. You fake it.
You plant somebody in that group.
They do that. I know that they do that.
So, okay, here's the two things that actually, these are the two tips that I'm going to do for next year. The two big things are, A, you can't really count on crowdsourcing. Right. You don't need people ready to log in. You're like,
unless people, you get little tiny people.
Yeah, people who come will love to skip.
Yeah, they want to do
it's they'll like to do it. If anything, you have to make sure they don't take it too far. B, find a place with walls. show up with the walls ready. Because 95% of our time was building walls. Those are my two big haunted house tips.
All right.
So I got something else I want to talk about.
Sure.
It's not games, it's not haunted houses. There was a study released today.
Okay.
That the more attractive you are, the more it's statistically, you're more probable to also be smarter. the more handsome you are, the higher IQ.
Now are we talking, IQ or
IQ
or success?
IQ. No, IQ. Your IQ is probably higher.
Is this something like, for example, early preferential treatment, and then as a result, you're getting better?
Here's my guess. There's another
breeding sense.
Because it's
smart
also
people who are also attractive are more likely to probably
Here's the big thing. Every generation, women become hotter. It's been proven.
Yeah.
Women have become hotter.
You just need to look at the old paintings. Look at Renaissance paintings on Wikipedia.
But dudes have remained exactly the same.
Because, we were great from the beginning.
Well, if you were a babe and you show up to Roman times, like, you'd be Aphrodite.
Helen of Troy. Yes,
but if a dude shows up, you'd blend right in. And the way they explain this away is that, like, men select for attractiveness a lot more, while women select for personality and power,
which is true.
That means if you're a smart dude, chances are you also got a hot babe, which means all your children, regardless,
are gonna be hot.
Well, that also shows that makes sense. Men actually have a greater chance of this. So, like, if you're a man who's handsome, you're even smarter than the woman who's handsome.
I don't know if I hang out with women I would necessarily call handsome. I'm not sure if that's the correct adjective for that one.
Well, like Jodie Foster, she's a handsome woman.
Jodie Foster is a handsome woman. Sarah Michelle Gellar is, for example, a very good looking horse. You
know? Yes. She's a handsome woman.
But I just thought that was an interesting study that I wanted to share with you all.
Well, your brother is more attractive than you are, and I'm screwed if that's the case because Jimmy's way hotter than I am.
Okay, so it's not all the time. And so
I was talking with your
brother Jimmy about this, and the way I put it was, it's not Blaze hotter. He's just the next generation. He's like, I'm like an iPhone 3G. He's like an iPhone 4.
I've had someone compare Jimmy to a car model. He's like, Jimmy. He's like, slimmer model.
And of course, that one's gonna be a little bit better. But you know what
that's
the old
not
model
how
has?
I'm
you know what the, you know what the old model has? Character.
It's got just like classic cars.
And you know, if we're talking about phones, the older smarter. Models also a little bit thicker. And probably a little bit sturdier, too. So, you know what?
This totally, Matt, does this hold true with you and your brothers?
Yes. And, I would say so. Well, I don't know. I'd say Jeffrey got all the best genes. He's my oldest brother. He's the smartest.
Yeah.
And I guess he's maybe the most attractive.
See, the way then, I see it. See, the
but
way
Michael
I...
is younger than me, and he's definitely, he was a cool dude. Yeah. I was kind of...
Yeah. Well, you got the middle. You got the middle. That's not the way I see it.
Yeah,
middle
doesn't count in that. Middle's like the
nexus of
whatever. Middle's like a 3GS.
No, here's what it is. It's the, yeah, here's
it's
what it is. Here's what it is. It's like it's a swim meet thing. I always think it's like when you do a swim meet. When you were a kid, like the first race, you're like, all right, it's time to do this. And the first race out of the gate, you give it your all, right? But then every other one, it's like, I kind of already gave my all.
You were a quitter when you played sports, weren't you?
No. I wasn't a quitter. It was just by the time.
You tried once.
I'm just saying, I did one good race. The first one, the first kid out, right, is the good one. And then the other one's just like, I already did one.
So are you in that, like, they don't give as much attention to the second?
You know, you don't choose. Parents don't choose how their kids come out. Is that what you're saying?
Complete the sentence. In conclusion.
In conclusion, I think I'm superior to my brother.
Yeah. I think you're smarter than Jimmy, probably. He's not here, but...
Blaze got a lot more zazz, I'd say.
Yeah,
dude,
Logan's
got stitches last night.
He
was dying. Usually you say he got injured. And he needed stitches.
I totally got this awesome leg cast yesterday.
He missed the couch and just face planted on the floor or something.
So yeah. What you're saying is not a point for the
Which would not be surprising if he was like 12. Like that's a common story when you're in elementary school.
Definitely. See, on one hand, yeah. That's,
you
know,
I mean, you didn't live with me when I dove on my bed and broke it, right?
See, on one yes, I think I did. See, on one hand, I would say, well, oh, that's a point against Blade for being like, you know, the quote unquote smarter version of you. But then again, you yourself have stories of incredibly stupid physical stuff as well.
Yeah, I think that just kind of runs in the family,
like the rebar story, for example.
Just destroy that rebar.
I mean, any reasonable
I should have kept
person,
that rebar because nobody believes.
No,
nobody should have held on to that rebar. It was pretty impressive.
I don't know, but I mean,
you know what? It was actually bought from the prop shop, so it was made out of like plastic.
This was some serious. Like, they use this stuff in skyscrapers, bro.
this is real skyscrapers.
They have to keep you away from buildings. Is that how they keep you away from buildings?
Yeah, watch out. If I run into a wall, I might go clean through it.
So, but here's the thing, though. I know. I think a lot of, you know, isn't, but wouldn't it be the case that, well, first of all, I guess I don't know the study. Were you
that goes against Idiocracy, does it?
Were they measuring base intelligence, or were they saying like, okay, you have the higher potential?
I think it was higher IQ. They probably did an IQ test.
Okay.
And then they did it.
Because obviously, if you did like SAT scores, that makes sense. Because obviously, in general, they also found more attractive people are more successful people in general go to better schools, better SAT scores.
But I just love that. Like, so it's like you really don't have anything going for you if you're ugly.
Yeah.
You're just kind of like, chances are you're also kind of dumb.
This is true.
Probably work at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
But again, as me and Freddie point out, just because you're uglier and stupider doesn't mean you don't have character.
That's what we have.
You've got to embrace that.
And character is what counts, you know?
Unless you're talking about everything else, which, yeah.
Abraham Lincoln, really stupid. And one side of his face was actually shriveled. Most people don't know that. One side of Abraham Lincoln's face.
They ignore that in the paintings.
Yeah, they do. Well, that's why he's always turned to one side, because the other side.
Turn to one side? Could the painter just fake the other side?
I'm only classically trained. I can only paint what's exactly in front of me. The paintbrush.
In Photoshop, you're literally just
duplicating.
Because
that wouldn't look weird.
The paintbrush cannot lie.
Perfect symmetrical face. People don't know that, but if you did a perfectly symmetrical face, you'd instantly notice it was weird.
Yeah. Well, Denzel Washington has a perfectly symmetrical face.
Oh, does he?
He's probably also really smart.
He's probably really smart. He's
but, but Abraham Lincoln, not really smart, pretty ugly fellow, but he got rid of slavery.
Simple.
So there you go. So you're saying that the
single-handedly destroyed slavery.
The ugly listeners here can... Hopefully
well, yeah. What are you supposed to do then if you're ugly? You're screwed in every way, shape, and form.
No.
Well, no. Actually, you're not screwed. Literally not screwed.
It doesn't matter how smart you are, how beautiful you are. Just be interesting. Be interesting.
That's true. That's true. That's a good.
Even
tip.
If it means being evil.
The end.
Even if it means torturing small animals, but something
I think
do,
that's the philosophy most serial killers had, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you ask Tim McVeigh, that's really what it is.
Not very smart and pretty ugly.
And they got some good stories.
They got some good stories
about burning puppies.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're going to read about them 10 years from now.
Yeah, so, and it's the ones you remember.
So Matt's playing with something right now.
This is magnet thing that Freddie got from like
Buckyballs. Is what
Buckyballs? Oh, I've heard about
these. Are incredible.
You can't give them to small children, right? Because they'll swallow them and cause terrible things.
I made a string. I was playing with it with my cat until I realized that at any moment it could just swallow half those things.
Yeah, and I mean these things will. I assume how it happens is that they're afraid that a small child will eat one. It'll stay there forever, and then they'll go get an MRI as an old child and explode out of them.
Yeah. So it's awesome.
I can only assume that's why they do this.
When I finally heard that about MRIs, by the way, that flipped me out and not know that was the situation.
So you didn't know that.
No. Like, how does that actually happen, though? Like, now that it's pretty well known, like, who's like, oops, he had a metal plate in his head.
Well,
like, we didn't know.
Let's bring this back to gaming
for
a second.
Bring the gender in.
Yeah. So motion gaming is really big right now.
Yeah.
And so there's three competing technologies now, right?
And you're familiar with a lot of them.
Well, yes, I am. So there's Nintendo Wii, which is accelerometers. So that's actually just a little sensor that senses gravitation or pull up to 3 Gs.
All right, we're going to pause this so I can release my Milwaukee's
best here. You can release it.
No, let's go. Yes. We'll just continue.
This is pretty dry stuff. So that's the Nintendo Wii. It uses accelerometers, but it also has a little camera. It's a really good camera, by the way. If you ever need an infrared camera, just use your Nintendo Wii. That's actually a super high quality camera.
Logan, you do a lot of
I've moved out of the game industry, and now I do military training research
so
with virtual reality. So if you ever see Lawnmower Man, that's my life.
So that's okay. That's the Nintendo Wii. The PS3 move is using that camera,
which
and
is
looking.
It's a dildo, actually. You wave around.
That's some strong language, but I guess we've been swearing the whole time.
Yeah.
So
it looks like a sex toy.
What?
It does. It looks like a sex toy.
Yes. Well, it has a silly globe at the top, which is squishy if you've ever tried.
Yeah, it's actually surprising.
But you know what the colors are determined by? This is pretty cool.
Yeah, they're determined by the highest contrast in the room. So
all the camera's looking, your PS3 eye toy is looking at that thing, mm-hmm. and based on its position, it's deriving where you are in 3D space. So it changes the color to whatever's not in your room so it can see it easier.
Okay.
And then there's the Kinect, which actually sprays light patterns on you. Thousands of times a second.
Okay.
And from those light patterns, it can derive a 3D mesh of the entire world.
Good times.
It's pretty cool stuff. So, at the CES, which I believe you were at.
I was at CES, yeah.
CES.
It was boring as hell, by the way. Did you go?
No, I did not.
CES was like literally nothing but 3D TVs and iPad accessories. That was the entire thing.
Well, I also hear there's a lot of motion control stuff.
I didn't even see it because they were probably buried behind the booths of iPad accessories.
So
I didn't realize the iPad was such a fundamentally broken device when it came out.
You need your iPad holder.
Your iPad frame, so many holders, iPad stylus. Oh my gosh.
So anyways, obviously the PC market wants to get in on this stuff. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in some cases there is. I know that there's a thing called Track IR, which the hardcore racers and first-person shooter guys will do, which is like a thing that sits on your glasses or sits on a hat or something. And it's like LEDs, and you can like turn your head, and the guy in the head, you know, in-game can turn. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's good for racing games, like Arma does it, you know.
So there's two big ones that I've noticed. One is PrimeSense, which is the guys who actually make the Kinect, and they're releasing it for PC.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's another one. There's that Razer, the one company that does all the game controllers.
Yeah, yeah.
Has one that's based on a magnet.
Yeah, I heard about this.
How do those work?
A giant magnet.
Wait, are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
How big of a magnet?
It's terrifying. And this is how people used to do virtual reality back in the 70s. So this is
old technology. Bring it back, kicking it old school.
And it should be noted that we have one of these at my military lab.
Yeah.
Before the PrimeSense came out. And they're really scared around it. Like, they're like, hey, man, like, you don't have a pacemaker, right? shit like that.
The interns are the ones who would deal with
it. Well, it's one of those things where it's just like, don't go near that thing if you don't have to. And so here's, like, Razer, like, releasing this for your, like, home laptop. It's like, did they solve the magnet problems? Like, are we going to have a bunch of people who have, like, metal skulls rip out, like, stuff?
That's going to be so much better than the Wii break your TV.
Yeah, it's like, dude. Oh, man, I love this race. Their artificial heart like rips out of their chest on the magnet.
Still thumping.
Especially since they use a lot of that motion technology for like dealing with, my girlfriend is OT for like, you know, people with disabilities. So
there's
going to be some
incredible
hospital who doesn't know
Oh, just get the Razer one. I don't know how it works. And then like every metal part of your body just rips
every hip replacement.
But yes, it does in fact use magnets, and I'd be curious to see if it's
if it'll injure people.
Yes, we'll see. We'll see what time. So buckyballs.
Yeah. It's just little
magnets, right?
What was the point of going on to motion control?
I just wanted to talk about all that terrible stuff. It was all a lead up to the Razer magnet.
Razer magnet
terrifyingness. Awesome. How, I assume that buckyballs, you swallow them, when you buy the Razer thing, it'll explode out of your chest.
it's like a shotgun.
That's going to be applied for a Law & Order or CSI.
That is a good one. Yeah, yeah.
Or like a Stargate.
So real quick, we'll wrap this up. I want to tell you the idea that I had actually Logan for a movie. And Logan's very good at coming up with like single sentence movie ideas. Okay. So I had this crazy idea, Okay. So you know how everybody's always like, oh, if you had a time machine, what would you do? All right, well, you would go.
Everybody's like that.
Well, no, I'm saying. I'm not done yet. Everyone talks about time machines. Yeah, it's like the number one.
There's not one hearsay that I've walked into and not heard the time machine.
This is Freddie's ability to pitch, by the way. You're seeing it in action. No. Right here.
Okay, so anyway.
This is an actual elevator pitch. Okay, the idea here is, what are the top things everyone's like, oh, if you had a time machine, where would you go back? You have dinosaurs, you have like, oh, crucifixion. Of Jesus, and then there's a lot of people like, I'm gonna go back to kill Hitler. Go back and kill Hitler. Yeah. So imagine what would be that movie, right? It's like one of those twist movies, so maybe you get Shyamalan on this one, but it's like an art student in the 20s, and he's just like an art guy, and just out of nowhere, just people start showing up trying to kill him, and it's like the reveal is that he's Hitler, and these are people from the future when time machines have been invented trying to go back in time and kill him.
That Hitler probably would not be a very interesting protagonist as an art student.
So should we know that once these video games, I was able to respond within like a few seconds, but I'm just kind of sitting here like staring at these buckyballs. It's kind of like what to make of this one.
Somebody's going to make that movie now, by the way.
I think it's a good movie. I think it'd be great. Because when has there ever been the twist?
All right. No, here's the important part.
Twist plays.
He's Hitler.
He's must be a Twilight Zone from the 60s.
No, here's the important question is, you got to give me a cast. Who plays this young Hitler?
Who plays young Hitler? That's a tough one. Hitler. That's a tough one to sell, too. By the
way, I'm gonna switch over back to the us being old people things in the Black and White movie. So I just saw Dahlin for Murder.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Have you guys seen this movie?
Yeah.
Like the Alfred Hitchcock movie. So first of all, Alfred Hitchcock is really obsessed with killing your wife and getting away with it. Like there's multiple.
He was weird with the female cast members. If you know the stuff behind.
Oh really?
Yeah, he was all just odd. Supposedly really odd dude with female cast members.
By odd, do you mean like he sexual?
No, assault. I don't think anything was like he. I'm spreading rumors of Hitchcock. Yeah, exactly. He raped women.
No, everybody knows Hitchcock was a pig.
Did you guys hear this podcast? They totally slagged off Hitchcock.
You're so old. Slagged off. Yeah. Anyway.
I like that word.
So yeah.
So anyways, yeah. So this movie, like the whole beginning is about this guy plotting to kill his wife with like the perfect murder. And like, of course he's a despicable human being, right?
Yeah.
But you
want him to succeed.
You want him to succeed. And like as like things start going really bad for him, you're like,
no!
You can't be like, oh man, he's gonna get cut. Oh my god.
of course he should get caught.
It's a terrible thing he's doing. Yeah. And so you need to do this with Hitler. Where I'd actually blatantly like beginning with him being really nice for like 3 minutes, blah blah blah, my name's Adolf Hitler. But he's like really charismatic.
No, his friend just goes, hey Hitler.
Hey Hitler. And I was like, hey, so the real question is, who's charismatic enough?
To pull off
Hitler. Yeah. And I'd say Jason Statham.
Jason Statham is Hitler.
It's Hitler versus Time Machine.
Just be called the Painter.
The Painter.
It's in his other titles.
Exactly. That'd be good.
Exactly. All right, pitch.
Pitch.
So, our contact information.
Go ahead and make that fan vid. The Hitler Time Machine fan vid.
That'd be pretty incredible.
I'm sure there must be a really shitty like pulp novel, like
something like MST3K or something about Hitler.
I'd buy it as an SNL short. I don't know. I don't know if I'd buy it as a like direct to video and block.
And because what's his motivation other than not getting killed? Like, is he just in a room? Is it a siege movie?
It's a mystery. Like, where are these people? Where are these people?
So, is it where are they coming from?
So, is it national treasure?
I think
you should figure out the device.
You should do the arc of episode 1 through 3, where he starts off really great, and by the end, he's evil.
No, it would be great. Is he's actually a good guy, but these people constantly trying to kill him.
Yeah, that's the result.
That destroys his soul.
But they're all Jewish.
It's a time where
he wouldn't hate Jews if the Jews didn't try to kill him.
And so
it's like where does one thing end and the other begin?
The first guy shows up
eating his tail.
The first guy shows up and literally says, "This is for the Jews." And like that starts, he's like, "Why are the Jews trying to kill me?"
And by the end, he's like, "Clearly, Juden."
No, that he believes. Not like that. He believes that the Jews are the like. Have this technology in the future that can that's dangerous. So he does think
I actually like that.
Yeah, that's a good movie now.
Because now you're moving into like the 12 Monkeys. It's like oh, was this way all along?
It's this way all along. Truly, we were fated for this to happen.
And I think so, it'd be really great if there was like an ending where like they keep on flashing to different time machine eras, and it's just Hitler versus like 10 guys like flashing through dinosaurs.
So how well do you think a movie would do where you blame the Jews?
For their own plight. Oh, that would be great. Yeah. Fantastic.
We didn't think that far ahead. It's pretty controversial for our first podcast, by the way.
I mean, I've told you about my idea for Chuck Yeager Dragon Hunter, right?
No. Pitch Chuck Yeager Dragon Hunter.
Chuck Yeager Dragon Hunter? So for those of you who don't know who Chuck Yeager is, he's a World War II pilot. The best World War II pilot.
In fact, he's a test pilot for a while, too.
And he was the one who broke the sound barrier for the first time.
He's a hero. He's a man.
I wanted, and Hitler was really into weird, like arcane shit, right? Like the Holy Grail. So what if Hitler discovered dragons? So he replaced the entire Luftwaffe with dragons. And so Chuck Yeager and his P-51 has to take on these dragons, but with help with the last British dragon hunter, who thought Sir Knight, he had made the dragons extinct. So now he played by
Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
We say it's disappointing that video games haven't done that because we got up on the World War II thing, but nobody ever took it. Other than Wolfenstein, nobody did Hitler's dragons.
It's this one dragon slayer teaming up with Chuck Yeager to take on Nazi dragon flyers.
I'd watch that movie. Who would play
Christian Bale? It would just be the cast from Rain of Fire. From Rain of Fire.
How had dragon movies haven't really done too hot?
Well, to be fair, they had Dragonheart.
No, so
there's Dragonheart and then Reign of Fire is what, like...
There's Reign of Fire, Dragonheart, and then D-War.
D-War.
The Korea.
Yeah.
And then How to Train a Dragon is probably the most successful out of all of those.
Yeah, How to Train a Dragon is the only, like, dragon movie that was
good. It is actually kind of saying that dragons haven't gotten their fair share.
Yeah, it's not dragons' fault.
It's gonna... It's gonna happen. Because, like, I mean, vampires got their...
Their time in the sun.
Is there any superhero?
Even though that's the last thing a vampire wants.
Is there any like Marvel like old Marvel character that involves dragons?
Well, there's that. Well, isn't there that one Dragon Man? He's green and he has a webbed mohawk.
Oh, wait, hold on.
He's like a magician type. His name starts with an F.
Fim Fam Foom. Are you shitting me?
This just sounds like you're making stuff up. Let's reenact that. Hey, Matt, isn't there some Marvel character that's like
Dragon Man?
Like a sea otter?
Sea Otter Man.
Oh, Sea Otter Man, right. Yeah.
He's not like that far-fetched.
Aquaman, I guess. Wasn't there that kid who turned into Spider? Spider-Man.
So
I guess maybe the route to do this is to first make Dragon Hunter as a comic book and then Aquaman.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, I think you should start going on that.
Let's get it. Let's do it. Let's get it brewing. What about
anybody who's
iPad RPG?
Do that. That's better.
That's hip. That's really hot now. You know, the iPad's like really a really popular device.
We'll also release it on Android.
Yeah,
why not? Right? Because Android's really popular right now.
That's coming up.
Infinity Blade would be better if it had dragons.
You know what we should do?
Okay, let's talk about Infinity Blade.
This will be the last one.
Let's do a little Infinity Blade talk here.
All right. So for anybody who knows,
you really like Infinity Blade.
Infinity Blade's got some beautiful graphics.
It does.
It's got a really cool combat system.
It does.
But the story. But the story might be the worst. It's a worse story than like Pac-Man.
Pac-Man is, of course, a metaphor for human Pac-Man, consumerism.
At least Pac-Man had like a comic and a cartoon, so God knows what it was filled with. But
spoil it for us. What is the story?
So Infinity Blade is, you go to it opens with this knight in front of this God King. He's like, I'm gonna take you down, God King.
The guy kills
him. And God King just goes, yeah, I don't think so, and stabs him. And then goes 10 years later.
Which, to be fair, is a good beginning, because you're like, that guy's a tough dude.
And then the dude walks up, he's like, I'm gonna avenge you, father. So then you fight through this whole castle and get to the God King.
Yeah.
And the God King just stabs you, and then goes 10 years later. And then this guy walks up and is like, I'm gonna avenge you, father. And then just does that. Over and over.
So there's this family who just has sex with their wives the moment before they leave.
And then they go, it's like, I gotta take care of
this. Here's the point of the game. I thought it was a pretty clever way of just like
making a game go on forever.
But here's the problem is eventually I killed him. I killed him in the fifth, after my fifth time, I killed him.
Really?
There's no like. I go back and I killed him again. I don't know what happened. I killed him, and then it shows you like there in the room, like you won. And then it says 20 years later.
Maybe you
I was
become,
like, what am I going to do? Go find my dad? Did he just sit on the throne?
You became the bad guy.
But they don't say that to you, though.
No,
it's so sad that
it would have been awesome if they were like, so by the way, your dad is now a murderer. You got to go kill him.
Even if they could have probably like inserted some voiceover that made that more compelling.
Yeah.
Like, it's so sad that certain things have, everything's right with them. Everything's done so well. Tron's an example of this. But like the story, the cheapest part is what you write down on the paper, and that ends up being the worst
thing.
It's like if you just set out like for Tron, which was how many millions were spent on Tron? God, like
a lot.
You could buy a small country.
It was a small country on Tron. Yeah,
yeah.
To create a virtual world
and everything in that movie is pretty well done. Like except for the face of Jeff Bridges.
Oh my god,
Jeff Bridges is like Final Fantasy Spirits, and they composited on top. But other than that, fairly well done, except for the script. Like you could have just spent like an extra $10,000.
You know, on the script. Anything like that's always the fact that there's like six different departments who all have different.
I assume it got watered down.
Which, by the way, seems to be a lesson that no company or studio ever learns, because that's always the problem. It's like, well, what happened? It's like, well, every single person had different interests.
Every once in a while, every once in a while that works out, like Pirates of the Caribbean. When they first saw the dailies of Pirates of the Caribbean,
like Johnny Depp cannot be
that guy.
And then, of course, now by the way, Disney is pretty much doing everything except sucking Johnny Depp off at this point, because
he's the only thing. Like, dude, we were there when we were watching World of Color, and literally it just
World of Color.
Johnny Depp's face shows up for a second, and then goes away and on a fucking waterfront, and the whole crowd
loses it.
They lose
I heard the rumor they had to get rid of the Johnny. They had like Johnny people playing Johnny Depp there. And they had to get rid of it because the moms and hitting on them.
There was a guy who would play Johnny Depp, and there's a thing online where he's talking about where like women just walk up to him and be like, here's my room number.
Yeah. Or like grabbing his junk.
Yeah, listen.
He's had to get rid of it.
My husband's like at a meeting all day.
Yeah. Which by the way, every dude fought to be the Johnny Depp dude.
By the way, when we were there, there was
is there girlfriend that like Belle? Is Belle the girl who like guys come up to?
I think the guys know that if they did that, they'd
Disney. Yeah, they get thrown.
That's
Disney.
True. That's one thing girls can get away with. Girls could go up to somebody in public, and be like,
even if you're married and you love your wife, you still be like, come on,
yeah, just do it. Oh, we actually talked about this before. Is a girl? A girl can get away with flashing. A girl can show her boobs to like 13-year-olds, right? Yeah, and it's like, oh my god,
she's a hero. She's a hero.
I can't even talk about flashing junk to a 13-year-old on the podcast without getting arrested. Like, it's like,
I'm gonna bring some science back. Did you hear about that study they did where it's they did it both for men and women where they just had a random stranger, a hot stranger, walk up to the opposite sex and offer them sex there. Like, they'd just be like, hey, let's, you want to go back and just do it? Like, and they said, like, the only guys who said no reluctantly because they already had a wife. That was the only time a guy was like,
they always qualified their answer. They didn't just say no. They said no because I'm married.
He was like, man, I'd love to. Well, universally, women were just like, no, this is never spray in the eyes. Like,
yeah.
Anyways, I think we've gone long enough.
We did a little game theory. We did some sociology.
We did some social psychology,
science, some film. I'm sure this will be edited down. Maybe.
How long is this? We're looking at about 66 minutes.
No, this is good. Don't do any work on this.
What you should do is you should overlay a number, like a number station on top of it that leads to a secret prize.
I'm not going to do that. But anyway, hopefully, folks, you had a mildly enjoyable hour here.
Wow, that's really long.
With Matt, Logan, and myself. And I don't know, give us your thoughts. If you like what we're talking about, if you want to hear other stuff.
We're not going to put that much more effort into this, by the way.
Yeah. This was a waste of time.
Why did you put this up? I expect most emails. But and we'll probably talk a little more about video stuff in other ones as well. It's just that we had the opportunity here with Logan, the most ridiculous man I know.
I don't think it's going to get too informative, though.
No. Probably not. We'll cover some stuff. We'll cover some stories, all that. Anyway, so if you have anything you want to add, if you want to comment, all that stuff, send them over to email address. I'll do podcast@facerocker.com. So until next time, everybody, thanks very much. Thanks for listening, and see you guys later.